We come now to the beginning of the readings of Scripture, and I would invite the reader for Psalm 33 to come forward.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the water of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to know nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy in the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all mankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his army. A warrior is not delivered by his strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save.
The book of Psalms is pervasive in Christian worship. Words from the Psalms fill our prayers and our hymns and just the general speech of worship. Were we to try to worship without reference to the Psalms, I'm uncertain that we would be able to do that. So much a part of our faith DNA are the Psalms, that even when not directly referencing them, we draw upon their meaning and their significance constantly. The Psalms, hymns and poems written in praise of our God, are an encapsulation of the life of faith. They describe both the steadfastness of God, even in our darkest hours, and they also describe the response of faithful people to the goodness of our God. The reformer John Calvin said of the Psalms, "I have been accustomed to call this book, I think not inappropriately, the anatomy of the soul. For there is not an emotion which anyone can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. Or rather, the Holy Spirit has here drawn to life all of the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, and complexities. In short, all of the distracting emotions with which the minds of people are wont to be agitated." This morning we read from Psalm 33, a great hymn of praise that speaks of the faithfulness of God. And at the heart of this psalm is the assurance that God is ever watchful, that there is nowhere that we can escape from God's gaze. There is nothing that we can claim is truly ours that God has not given to us. God is interested in our cause. The psalm says, "A great king is not saved by a great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory. And by its great might, it cannot save. But truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in famine." as we come this morning in worship to sing our songs and thanksgivings, we begin with this most fundamental declaration of the faith, that everything that is around us, all that we are, all that we enjoy, is a gift from God, our constant companion and guide, and the source of all good things. Let us pray. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our Lord, to you we raise our hymn of grateful praise. We thank you, most gracious God, for the rain and the harvest, the flowers and the mountains, the birds, the leaves. We thank you for paychecks and clothing and shelter and tasty food. Lord, we say thank you to you for all of the good things that we have and we enjoy, for we know they come from your hand. And we pray all these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. And as we come once more in praise, let us sing the hymn 434, For the Beauty of the Earth. The hymn, the words for the hymn will appear before you on the screens.
New Testament, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Now in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, that an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel had said to them, Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see what has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that what had been told them about this child, and all who have heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them.
It's not Christmas yet. And I'm not one of those people that posts on Facebook how many days are left until Christmas, because I think that's really rushing your life away. But important words in this text this morning. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Have you ever experienced a divine mystery? Something that has touched your soul, or something that has intrigued you and puzzled you that you just can't shake from your mind and imagination? Something for which you have no answers at all, but you know that it's significant. Then if you have, then maybe you recognize those words. The words that we hear Mary speak. She speaks of a divine mystery. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The story of the birth of Jesus Christ is the story of the great revelation of God's love to us in the person of Jesus Christ and of Christ's coming into this world. There are several occasions during the telling of that story that Mary knew that something important was going on. But she also realized that she did not have the wisdom to put all the pieces together yet. But she kept them with her. And I love this word, pondered. I think in this word there is a sense not of being disturbed, but of tranquility and peace. There's a sense of recognizing that something big, something life-changing is happening, and yet also being able to trust that God's unveiling plan will ultimately be revealed. There are wonders all around us, aren't there? From the most minute investigations of the workings of our very own human bodies, to the unlocking of the beauty of universes that are beyond our forevers, places that we will never be able to go, places that have ceased to exist before we even saw them. Wow. For those of you who have been traveling the John journey for the whole Bible study and the whole year of preaching, that kind of sounds really Johannine, doesn't it? Places that ceased to exist before we even saw them. But you know what? Every time NASA releases a new set of photographs from one of those giant space telescopes floating among the stars, pictures of clouds, of stars further out in space than we could imagine, I'm awed by those images. And each year at this time, as the trees turn from green to red and to gold, I'm amazed and I'm reminded of the beauty of the earth. And we know why that happens. Grade 10 or something biology class taught us all about photosynthesis and all that stuff. I know we know why it happens. But all of the chemistry and the biology stuff still doesn't explain our sense of awe when we see it take place. If you read the piece in the paper this week, you know I've been reading Brené Brown recently. And Brené Brown tells a story of taking her 6-year-old daughter out of school one day when she was in grade 1 and going out to spend time in the park and to ride the paddle boats. And while paddling along in the middle of the pond, Brown recounts that at a certain point she realized that her daughter wasn't paddling the boat anymore. And so she looked over and she saw her 6-year-old daughter sitting with her head tilted back toward the sky and her eyes closed, just a small smile on her face. She recounts that she watched her daughter sit like that, completely motionless, for a full minute. Eventually, she asked, "Is everything okay, sweetie?" And her daughter, her smile broadened. She opened her eyes and she said, "I'm fine, Mama. I'm just making a picture memory." And when she asked what that meant, her daughter said, "Well, a picture memory is a picture that I take in my mind when I'm really, really happy. I close my eyes and I take a picture so that when I'm feeling sad or scared or lonely, I can look at my picture memories." As we pause this weekend and take time apart from the usual rush and fever of life to celebrate the goodness that God gives us and to give thanks for all the blessings that come from God's hand, let us look for mysteries, for the divine mysteries, the God moments. And let us take a moment to silently pray, "Thank you," and to make a picture memory that we can carry the wonders that surround us with us everywhere we go. Let us pray. For the wonder of each hour, for the day and the night, Christ our Lord, to you we raise our hymn of grateful praise. We thank you, Lord God, for the experience that you have given us over the past year. Some have brought us joy. Some have opened our eyes to a new dimension of life. But some have been difficult. And yet through them all, we have experienced your care. We have learned and we have grown. Some of these moments have quietly nurtured us. They have been for us like daily bread. Thank you, most gracious God, for all these moments, for being present with us, speaking and providing each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
New Testament
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may you give spirit and wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when we raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in this age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which in his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
The whole family of God. Paul begins each and every letter that he writes to the church with greetings to each of the Christian communities to whom he writes. And here in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes in the kind of the second verse that we heard, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all of the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease in giving thanks to God for you as I remember you in my prayers. And perhaps, just perhaps, maybe we get the sense in this letter, and scholars believe this, that this little church in Ephesus, it may have been Paul's favorite congregation. Now, like children, we're not supposed to say, those of us who are in Christian leadership, which congregation is our favorite, because we love them all, right? Isn't that what we say about our children? And the same with the church. But often when people read the letters of Paul, they kind of arrive at this letter to the Ephesians, and they go, it's the most positive portrayal of any of the congregations that Paul was associated with. So maybe this was Paul's favorite. Galatians is definitely his not favorite. But think for a moment. For whom do you give thanks? How good it is that God forms us in families. God gifts us friends, and God calls us together to be the family of faith. And as a result of all of those things, we give thanks and praise to God. That is our innate attitude. Whenever we are gathered together, as you come together with family or friends around a table this weekend, at mealtimes, when we're with family, we give thanks. When we meet at the church for all of the busyness, the meetings that happen, the practices for the choir, we stop and we begin each moment, each meeting, with prayer. Praying for our congregation, that God will guide us in faithful paths, and giving thanks to God for all those who gather together. And then, on days like today, on Sundays and special occasions, we gather in worship and we pray, and prayer is never far from our lips, as we give thanks to God for all the good things that God has done. In the testimony of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we hear of the great things that are being done by this little community of faith because of the love that they have for God and for one another. May we give thanks this weekend for all those who we know and for all those we will meet, that God may bless them through us, and that they may in some way be a blessing to us, embodying God's love and God's faithfulness. Let us pray. For the joy of human life, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, and for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our Lord, to you we raise our hymn of grateful praise. Lord, we thank you for all those people in our lives, family and friends, who bring us joy and strength and peace. And we name them now in the silence of our hearts. We thank you for your work in their lives and for the blessings that they have been to us. Thank you for each one in this church, and help us to see in each other your provision and your love. Amen. Our hymn is 457, Now Thank We All Our God. The hymn will appear before you on the screens.
This reading is from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. The point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not regretfully or under compulsion for God. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work, as it is written. He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for the food for food will supply and multiply your seeds for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, your great generosity, which is produced thanksgivings to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession and the gospel of Christ, and his generosity of your partnership with them and with all the others. While long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that has given you, thanks to be God for his indescribable gift.
We mentioned a little while ago that Julie and Ariel are still at school preparing for a test. I gotta be honest, I don't miss tests. The stress, the cramming, the worry, I don't miss them. But we are tested. Paul writes that through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has done for us. It's a different passage, a couple of verses than I usually quote when I preach this text. Usually preachers like this text. This is the stewardship text. God loves a cheerful giver. Be careful. There's a trick in that sentence. Because Paul's writing to a congregation in Corinth that hasn't been very faithful in their giving. They've made commitments that they're not living up to support the Christians in Jerusalem. And now they're kind of going, well, oh, you know, yeah, we said we'd give that money, but no, you know. We've got so many of our own things to worry about here right now. And Paul comes back with, but God's given you gifts. Gifts that you can use to show to other people the love of Christ. And God loves a cheerful giver. So don't give grudgingly. But don't forget the commitments that you've made either. And then he ends with this, which is slightly more positive. That we glorify God as we continue to confess Jesus Christ. We gather in worship each week, and we hear each week in worship the stories of Jesus. One of the hymns we're not singing this week, although we've sung plenty. But we gather to hear the stories of Jesus, to hear how Christ walked this earth, touched the lives of others, and was for them a blessing. And in every moment that he did those things, he gave witness to the greatness of God's love. And that ultimately, Christ gave up his life upon the cross so that we would never be separated from God, but that we would be completely and utterly forgiven. Because Christ takes upon himself our sin on the cross. If that is our starting point. That Christ has taken upon himself our sins, the sins of the world. Then what's left for us to fear? What is left that should hold us back? That we should not act as in kindness and generosity because we know that God gives to us blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So there's never not enough. Share with them and with others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given to you. Surpassing grace. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. As far as those universes are that we cannot imagine the distances. So great are the blessings that God gives to God's people. Immense and innumerable. And then Paul ends our section for today, or Eleni ended our section for today with the words, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." If we have been given the gift of life without fear, life without worry, then what possibly can hold us back from being the people of God and giving thanks and praise in all that we do?